There are many great people in history that we haven't heard of, or perhaps we haven't heard of. How many have heard of William Harvey? William Harvey was born April 1st, 1578, and William Harvey had the incredible privilege of being someone who studied the human body. And as he was studying the human body, he discovered that the heart was different than they had thought up until that point. And in fact, because of his studies and the valves and how blood flows and what happens with that, it changed medical history. In fact, because of his research, medicine was able to develop techniques and technology which saved lives. Our hearts matter. In fact, physically, you could probably argue there is no more important thing to stay healthy than the health of your heart. And spiritually, you could argue the same. You may not know the name William Harvey, and yet we have and do benefit from him. And I hope when your life is over, if you have been one who understands the importance of the heart to God, you'll be one who perhaps they won't remember your name, but when they stand with you in eternity, they will say, "You changed my eternity." For Labor Day, starting last year, we decided to focus on the things that matter most to God. And so last year, we went to Matthew 11, 11, Psalm 138, verse 2, and Matthew 23, 11. I know I said those very quickly. And we said, "You're the greatest if you point others to Jesus. You're the greatest if your life displays the beauty of his gospel, and every one of us is called to be an ambassador for Jesus." And then we said, "You're the greatest if you esteem his name and his word, if his word is so rich to you that you hear it and value it and you know who he is because of how he has revealed himself here in his word. You esteem his word, and so he esteems you." Really overwhelming when you look at that text in Psalm 138. And then we looked at Matthew 23, where Jesus encourages us to pursue greatness. And he says, the way that you pursue greatness is to be a servant, to find someone to bless and to serve. And we would argue an overflow of John 13, to find somewhere where your life doing menial tasks for someone else notices their needs and then actively steps in and meets those, even if it takes incredible humility. I suppose we would even say it will take incredible humility. And so we remember what it means to be those who point to Jesus and to be word saturated and knowing who the God of the Bible is and being servants. Perhaps you don't remember that, but we are hoping that this Sunday you will see another area where God declares above all. There are many places in the Bible where those words come out in translations, and really what it is the Holy Spirit saying, this is a priority for my people. And when God says that, if we belong to him, we will be those who treat it seriously. Above all is an exclusive claim. In other words, reject everything else so that you can focus on this. Well, what's that above all for us today? And if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Proverbs chapter 4. It's a verse that many of you have memorized. If you have not, you should. And a verse that I think most profoundly can impact us in context. Starting verse 20, and then we'll read and then focus in on the one that is most profound in terms of the above all. It won't be as clear in the ESV. My son, now remember Proverbs written from a father to his children to give them wisdom. We now read along and read in and say this is wisdom literature. This is how to live your life. It's applicable. This is how to think about life, but more than that, it's not just knowledge. This is how to allow that to impact your life, to change who you are and how you live and how you impact and interact with others. It's a life-changing book, profound. And I have found in my own life and with those I visit with, the older you get, the more rich you find the book of Proverbs. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. By extension, we believe this to be the word of God. Be word saturated and word focused, and let the Bible be the thing you think about the most. What it drives you to think about. Why? For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. They make a difference now and for eternity. They are more important, if you kept reading, than life itself. Now here's the verse we'll focus on. Keep your heart with all vigilance, above all. For from it flow the springs of life. And it goes into a how, and we won't spend as much time on this. Put away from you crooked speech. Don't speak things that are negative or not honoring to God. And put devious talk far from you. Don't be around others that are doing that, but be around others that are focused on God. Sounds a little bit like Psalm 1. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Boy, this is important at such a time as this with all of the distractions we face. Ponder the path of your feet and then all your ways will be sure. Make sure you are fixated on guarding your heart and the word of God so that how you live is secure, free from fear, condemnation of others, anxiety, and full of loyalty to God and his word. Do not swerve to the right or to the left, the ditches the demonic realm loves to put in our way so that we think we are following God but actually are not. Turn your foot away from evil. Evil being defined by who God is, the opposite of, and how God has revealed for us to live. It's a profound passage because of the exclusivity of the call. It's a command, and a command that assumes that we will listen carefully because in Hebrew, and I think in English as well, this vigilance, this above all, this concept of its importance is so clear that if we belong to God, we'll listen. And I hope going into the 2021-2022 season, if September school year is the kickoff of that, certainly for our church that's the case, and perhaps for many of you here, that will be those that will listen this year to this passage as never before, that will learn it, know it, and live it. So let's break it up so we understand it, so that we can apply it. The first thing I want us to notice is just this idea of first importance. Above all, or with all vigilance. And again, in the Hebrew, the above all fits. It's an exclusive command. Forget everything else. Fixate on this. In fact, literally in Hebrew, above all guarding, guard. Above all living, focus. The idea again, ignore these things, fixate on this. It's an idea that comes with a passion and a priority. It's something you need to do. Guard your heart above all guarding. Probably the best literal translation. There's a battle going on, and the battle is certainly on the surface. It's all around you, but the key to winning that battle is to guard your heart above everything else. I heard a story of someone who was preaching on this, and he tells it tongue in cheek, but as he's preaching, someone in the front row has a heart attack. And so I hope you would be aware that everything would stop and someone would come and you'd have nurses or doctors in the congregation. You'd call the ambulance, everything's going on. And he's out at the back and church lets out and you go back there and you notice as he's lying on the nurse's table or the thing that they're pushing him out, ambulance table, and you're looking at him, you notice he has a Band-Aid around his pinky. How many of you would say to this person who'd had the heart attack and is still experiencing the pain, how's your pinky? Or do you think when they got to the hospital would ignore the heart and just worry about the pinky and say, okay, well, you got a cut there. Let's clean it up. Let's make sure it's not infected. You see, I think sometimes what we do is we're distracted by what's going on around us. Certainly this text emphasizes those distractions that come. And they're so sharp and so painful that they cause us to get off the path God has placed us on and wants us to be on. And the greatest defense we have for that is what this passage says. Guard your heart above all guarding, above everything else you do. Make this a passionate priority. Oh, perhaps sometimes we can see others who aren't setting their priorities correctly. I heard the story, if you're a football fan, this will ring true, of a lady who was sitting in the Super Bowl. Very hard to get Super Bowl tickets. And she was in there, and a guy was sitting kind of two seats over and noticed that in between them was this empty seat. And so he turned to the lady and he said, I'm surprised there's an empty seat. There's the only empty seat in the entire stadium. Why is there an empty seat there? And the lady smiled and she said, well, it was my husband's, but he died. So the man said, well, I'm very sorry your husband died, and I'm really surprised that some friend or relative didn't jump at the chance to come to the Super Bowl and take this seat that was reserved for him. And she said, yeah, I know, I'm confused too. They all insisted on going to the funeral. I wonder if sometimes the distractions in life cause us to ignore what is most important. Actually, I don't wonder. We all miss out on what God says is most important. So hear this clearly. The Bible says the most important thing for you today to listen to, above all, with all vigilance, guard above all guarding, is that you would guard your heart. So what does that mean? I've just called this safeguard instruction, or keep. What does verse 23 actually mean? Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. What does this actually mean? It's a command. It's not optional. Keep your heart. Well, obviously, we need to understand, first of all, what is this heart that's being talked about? It's not the physical heart. It's the spiritual heart. And I think helpful to you to understand, it's emotions, but it's more than emotions. It's really the summation of your entire inner being. Derek Prime finds it like this. The heart is the whole of my inner life. It's who you are at your core, your motives, your deepest thoughts, the feelings that drive other feelings, the core of who you are. One scholar, the Bible talks about our hearts, and in our culture we primarily mean emotions, but biblical writers use it in a much wider sense. The heart is a totality of who we are inside, our emotions, our intellect, our desires, and our will. The words we speak, Jesus says, are an overflow of our hearts, the core of who we are. The choices we make flow out of our hearts. Jesus promises, and we see this in the Old Testament, then delivered in the new hearts that will have the right core inside. We're commanded to train our hearts, to guard our hearts, and it's so important we understand what that is. It's who you are when no one else is looking, and it's who you are that produces what you do when everyone else is looking. Oh, brother, oh, sister, if you struggle with sin, negativity, fear, distractions, hurt, turmoil, then this passage is the pathway to holiness and to peace and to being the person that will most magnify the name of Jesus and display the beauty of his gospel. This passage shows us how to become those who will most honor God. Now, the promise is a new heart of the new covenant. And this promise comes with a discipline that we must put into place. And this discipline here in Proverbs, this guarding or this keeping, Waltke states it like this. What does this word guard mean? Guard above guarding. It may mean either keep a sharp lookout or to keep someone or something in custody. And so restrain it as a prisoner, protect it from an enemy without. In other words, there's an attack coming on your heart. What you read, what you see, what you watch, what you look at on the internet, what you intake into your life with the music you listen to, there are all sorts of things that are flying against your heart. And the Bible says if you want to be one of, no, it commands, it's stronger than that. It demands that we be those who are aware of this, and as a first priority, guard our hearts. Now we could, I suppose, ask why. So if the heart is the person inside, the totality of who I am on the inside, to guard it means I'm not going to let anything in there that will spoil. I'm going to only feed it that which will produce on the outside a fruit, right? So I'm going after the root, which is the heart, so that the fruit will be glorifying to God all of the time, so that joy and peace and a building up of others will be a part of who I am. How do I do this? Why do I do this? I mean, if above all I'm to keep my heart loyal to God, then how do I do that? And the third stop I want to make in this text and then talk about really practically how we apply that is it's fully influential. It produces everything else. That's the why of the text. Guard your heart because it overflows. Guard your heart because from it flows the springs of life. From it, Jesus would say, you speak in Luke 6. From it, you live. From it, everything else comes. You see, we can't discipline our lives outside in and when. That will lead to legalism. I'm not arguing we shouldn't have outside in discipline. We should and must. But the Christian life that is victorious is lived from the inside out. And the disciplines that most impact who we are those that are after the heart, not the behavior. The behavior is an overflow of the heart. So if you struggle with what you say, and you find that your speech is not honoring to God, you're not building up others, you're bringing division, not unity. If your speech is filled with a fruit that is not what God would want, how do you change it? I'm not saying don't discipline from the outside in. I'm not saying don't build in reminders not to use your mouth to dishonor God. What I am saying is go after your heart. Because when the heart overflows, what does it produce? It produces that which praises God. As James would say, not curses man. So here, just to summarize what is a very simple verse. Priority number one, above all else, guarding above guarding. Guard your heart, the very core of who you are on the inside. Guard it, meaning keep out stuff that would impact it negatively and fill it with things that would help you focus on the greatness of God and who He is and what He has declared Himself to be for you and for others. Guard your heart. Because when your heart is not guarded, what will overflow will dishonor God, will not bring glory to His name. Or let's state it positively, if you guard your heart, you will live a life that is worthy of the calling you have received. And if you don't, you will dishonor Him, no matter how much discipline you place on external behavior. Above all, guard with all guarding. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Not only your own, but what impacts others. Okay, how do we apply this? If it's that simple, and it will take a little longer than usual to apply this to our lives, but how do I do this? If you can agree with me, if you're a biblical Christian, you have your Bibles open, and you go, okay, that's what verse 23 says. I've read it in context. That's what it means. I want this, Pastor. How do I get it? Well, I think it's important that you intellectually grasp the essential nature of what God is saying so that you don't leak in a way that damages your heart. There's a lighthouse along a bad coast, and it was tended by a keeper who was given enough oil for 1 month and told to keep the light burning every night. One day there was a woman that came to him and said, "My family is cold, the weather has been bad, we're out of oil, can I just have a little oil to stay warm?" And he said, "Yeah, you can have a little, I have some extra." And then a farmer came and his son needed oil for a lamp so that he could read and get educated and be more than a farmer, which his dad longed for him. Still another needed some for an engine so that they could earn money and be able to eat. And the keeper thought through each request and saw them as worthy, and they were. Warmth and food and education and jobs. Near the end of the month, the lighthouse ran dry. And on a particular night, there was a storm, and three ships crashed on the shores that the lighthouse was to protect, and more than 100 lives were lost. They did an investigation afterwards, and the man explained, "Listen, you need to understand, I did this because there were legitimate needs. There were things that came to me, like warmth and food and education, and these things are important, and like someone being able to keep his job. Don't you understand? These things are important." And now I quote, "You were given one task alone. It was to keep the light burning. Everything else was secondary. You have no defense." I want us to hear the weight of these words. There's one thing, above all guarding, that God has for you today and then to put into practice for the rest of your lives, and that is guard your heart. Guard your heart. Make this a 2021, 2022 priority. Do it with your mind. We'll get into kind of practically how to do it, but understand it. Then master heart protection. We're going to get into that in just a minute, but we talk about overflow a lot as a congregation. Let's master what it means to protect our hearts, and then let's take practical steps to do that, to guard our hearts. And so I've just come up with an acrostic, GUARD, to try to give you some ideas on how to do this, and I hope not only will you take notes, notice what they are, but you'll apply them, because the better you guard your hearts, the more impactful this church will be. The better you guard your hearts, the more godly you will be. The better you guard your heart, the more unity we will have around Christ and his mission. And the easier it will be for us to ignore distractions and fight the demonic realm together. We're doing that well, but we can get better. So let's get practical. First thing I want us to know, G for guard, we're doing an acrostic, we are God dependent, so pray for this. I try to pray every day, I'm not as consistent as I should be. IOUS, if you follow John Piper, it's from him. And really just follow some Psalms prayers. Incline my heart to seek you. It's a prayer for a heart for God. Open the eyes of my heart is the O, so that I might see wonderful things from your word. Unite my heart is the third one. In other words, I want a heart that is fully devoted to God, not distracted by anything else. And then the S, satisfy me, satisfy my heart in the morning so that I may sing with joy and be glad all my days. How often do you pray for your own heart? Your inner being longing to be one who is devoted to God completely, longing to be one that is safe because your life is loyal to him. I love Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart. There it is, the you, to fear your name. Oh, brother, oh, sister, if you want to have a guard that is above all other guards for your heart, then realize that apart from him, you can do nothing. Do this relationally and pray every day that you'll be one who will guard your heart, who will keep it safe, who will be loyal to God with what you feed your heart. Love him with all that you are and all that you have. Know that he's near and don't be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition. Present your request to God, and the peace of God which guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus will be yours. It's above understanding. G, go to God dependently. U for guard, realize you're under God. I'm just calling it under God. Why is this significant? So G, you go to God dependently. You're under God, because if we're not humble, very quickly the cares of this world will crowd out the seed of the gospel. And there are a lot of cares in this world, are there not? Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's who's going to win the election on September the 20th. If you didn't know, we have one in Canada. Maybe it's other people's views on things you disagree with. There is so much that threatens to invade our hearts and produce what the demonic realm would love for us to have. And so we place ourselves under God, so what his word teaches and what his name is becomes our greatest and most focused delight. I love Isaiah 66 verse 2. All these things, God is creator, ties into what our children in Kids Connection are learning. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Do you see yourself as under God and under his word? Do you have in your own heart this sense of humility? I know come the 19th of September, I hope the date is right, the third Sunday or whatever it is coming, we're going to have Sunday school, and Pastor Ray is going to be teaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And when you get into Beatitudes, the very first one, the characteristics of those who define followers of Jesus is, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble before God. Now, it goes on to say that will mean you mourn over your own sin, you treat others with meekness, you interact with one another with this grace and love, and there's so many other things that come, but the very foundation of a heart that's protected is a humility that says, I'm under God. He's sovereign. I accept what he brings into my life. So we're God dependent. We're under God. Thirdly, actively reject. So the first two are relational with God. This one's a relationship with the world. And it's one where we struggle. I was looking at statistics just yesterday as we did a study as elders, and the statistics are not good for how the American church, and I think in Canada we're even worse, is doing in terms of how we think and feel towards what's going on around us. We need to actively reject what is worldly, and we need to actively accept what is from God's word. I suppose this is just simply Romans 12, 1 to 2, which we say all the time here, this willingness to say, I'm not going to follow the pattern of the world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I suppose this is Hebrews 12 with a fixation positively on Jesus, or Colossians 3 on eternity, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18, this rejection of the world's understanding of pain and this fixation with eternity and the things that aren't seen. Maybe in a negative sense, since we're actively rejecting, Psalm 101 verse 3 is the best place you could go. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. See, if you think you can dabble in the world and not be stained by it, the Bible is clear that is impossible. So it's an active rejection of feeding your mind, feeding your heart, feeding your emotions, things that don't honor Jesus. An act of accepting of things that do. This is the Philippians 4:8 principle. If you want to go positive, it's saying no to things that would cause you to reject the sovereignty and goodness of God, or the glory of the gospel, or love for one another. And as you reject those with your life, it's the acceptance of whatever's true and honorable and pure and lovely and good and worthy. Oh, brother, oh, sister, the excellence idea. What do you feed your heart with? As I was preparing this, I listened to others, and so many said, it's time for us to take a fast from the internet. I think that might be true. I don't just mean there the evils that can come, pornography or materialism, those sort of things that are so easy to see as sin, but also the narratives that distract, cause you to be more fearful of the world than trusting in God. Oh, there's lots of that to go around, isn't there? This is an active rejecting of the world's influence upon our hearts. may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what my heart reflects on, be pleasing to you, O God. It's positive and negative. All right, let's remember this guard, G. It's God-dependent. Apart from him, we can't do this. He needs to give us a new heart and then renew our hearts. You were under God, so there's a humility that comes from it. A, we actively reject. R, we renew our minds. Now, in that act of rejection, you are renewing, you're focusing, but this is even more fixated on things that can come in that will sharpen and shape you. It's washing what you think and feel with what God declares. In our study yesterday as elders, one of the things we noticed is when you get caught up in the world, you're given over to a debased mind. You start to think what is evil is good and what is good is evil. And unless you wash your mind consistently and courageously, you will end up slipping into the ditches of the world's narrative on either side of the extremes. You will not be able to guard your heart unless you're in the Word of God, consistently renewing your mind, not only so that you know Him and delight in Him, which we're going to come to in just a minute, but also so that you learn how to think correctly, that the core of who you are believes His Word over the world. The greatest tragedy I believe this COVID season has left us in is so many Christians or people that claim to be Christians seeing life through the world's lens on all extremes rather than seeking how to honor God at such a time as this. Rather than seeing this in submission to the sovereignty of God as an opportunity to display the beauty of His power, the glory of His gospel, the goodness of His love. See, if we can step back and start to think with the greats of the Bible, our passionate pursuit is to point to Jesus, to love one another, to obey His word at all costs. We need to be those who are constantly renewing our mind. I love Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not finish it for me. Sin against you. That's pretty strong, isn't it? How many of us are consistently memorizing the Word of God so that we can be like Jesus when temptation attacks, and it will? See, if you fill your mind with the world, when temptation comes, you will live like the world because you're of the world. If your mind is filled with the Bible, then you will have victory and you will honor Him. Renew your mind. The D in guard. So we're certainly God dependent. We're certainly under God. So there's a humility. There's a resting in Him. There's an active rejection of the things that will shape us in the wrong way. There's a renewal of our minds in God. And then there's a delight in the gospel. There's a delight, really, we could say, in relationship. There's a delight in Him. It's relational. Don't lose sight of this or your heart will not be loyal. Don't get caught up in tradition or religion, which is so dangerous for us, so that you lose sight of the greatness of the glory of the gospel, the good news. Well, what is the gospel? Well, that's really what we celebrate at communion, so that we're reminded of it. Really, I hope every Sunday we review it in our hearts, and every day we remind ourselves of His presence and His power and His love so that we live in light of the gospel all of the time. And you say, okay, then Pastor, you better tell us again, what is the gospel? And simply put, the gospel is that there is a God who is real, who's revealed Himself in His word, and He is the Creator, and He is holy. And there was a fall. Genesis 3 records it. And because of that fall through Adam, we all became sinners by nature and nurture. And then, as humans, by choice, sinners. What does that mean? People who actively don't think the right thoughts about God or his world, and people who actively disobey what his word teaches is right and good. We miss the mark. And because of his holiness and justice, we can't be good enough. Oh, it's easy to compare ourselves with the person next to us or someone else if they're better. It's easy to say, well, I'm a pretty good person, so I'll end up in heaven. And yet, when we understand what the Bible teaches, the wages of sin is death, and the consequences of falling short of the glory of God, eternity in hell. See, if we really believe this, then when we start to talk about Jesus, everything about us changes. Because God, seeing our weakness while we were still sinners, demonstrates his own love for us in this. He sent Jesus, John 3:16. Jesus came, fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life. In other words, he never missed the mark. He never did anything that dishonored God, motive, thought, behavior. And then died a death on the cross. Not only physically, which is horrific, but spiritually, which is way worse. The wrath of God was poured out on the Son of God so that all who believe in Jesus don't have to experience it themselves for eternity. In fact, through faith in him, believing he is the creator and holy, believing he sent his son, believing that Jesus' life and death on the cross can be ours through faith, believing those things, we get eternal life. We get reconciliation with God. We get the right, the only right I can find in the New Testament, to be called children of God. Do you see how this changes everything else? Now my heart says with open hands, I want to serve you sacrificially no matter what. I want to glorify God no matter what the cost. I want to represent him. It's overflowing because my heart is so enamored with the beauty and glory of what Jesus has done and who he is. If you don't delight in the gospel, you will find it impossible to guard your heart. So I want to review these things and again, try to make them very, very applicable. God-dependent, will you choose this year to pray? I would love for you to pray every day. Incline my heart. Unite my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. Satisfy my heart. Because unless God gives you a new heart and renews it, you won't win. Realize you're under God and let that produce a humility. A humility that says, I deserve death and eternal damnation. Humility that says, I will treat you with respect even if you disagree with me. Humility that says, oh God, you are everything. So important. Renew our minds, delighting in the gospel, actively rejecting the negative, putting on the positive. Where have you spent your time this week? Television, music, reading, internet? Have you guarded your heart? Or allowed the attacks of the enemy to distract it so that the fruit of your lips and life dishonor God? Brother, sister, this is a priority for God. Therefore, a priority for us. So, to God, on behalf of you watching and all that are here, Cloverdale Baptist Church, 2021, 2022 will be a place that guards our hearts. Please bow your head and join me with your heart as we pray. Father, what a privilege it is to come before you. Forgive us for when we ignore your word and get caught up in the world. Forgive us for when we feed our hearts demonic distractions rather than what would cause us to delight in the Lord. Father, hear from us now this deep longing that you would incline our hearts to please you. That you'd open the eyes of our hearts that we might see wonderful things from your word, that you would unite our hearts to fear you and not to worthless gain, and that you would satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love that we might sing for joy. Oh God, most importantly, would you help us to delight in the Lord Jesus, that this relationship might drive and define us from the inside out, so that what we display to others would show the richness of your love, the glory of your gospel, and our willingness to pay any cost to live our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.